Welcome to Quantum of Solace from the Solace Centre for Public Christianity with David Robertson and I'm Al Smith.
As we said last week, we would say something about Brussels, but as always in these events, it just moves so quickly. The Brussels thing is horrendous in lots and lots of different ways, but there have been other things going on in the world as well, Al.
Yeah, you've got a splinter group from the Taliban setting off a bomb in Lahore, Pakistan, killing 70-odd Christians there who are celebrating Easter. There was also a terrorist killing spree in a beach resort on the Ivory Coast. Closer to home in Glasgow and Shawlands, you've got the recent killing of a Muslim shopkeeper there, Asad Shah. Islamic extremism is the link between all of these stories.
And we need to be really careful here not to put all Islam in the same box. Now, again, I'm coming back to the latest edition of the Solace magazine, which, as it happens, is on Islam. And I would strongly recommend that people read that. I mean, the first thing you have to do is say just the absolute horror of what's gone on in Africa, what's gone on in Brussels, Lahore. I think Lahore, for me, is the most horrific because it's a park with kids.
Yeah.
Celebrating Easter, deliberately targeted to get Christians at Easter in Pakistan. I mean, that's just horrendous.
There's what, 70 people have died in the explosion there, 300 odd injured.
Yeah, and there's no doubt who's done it. A breakaway from the Taliban have claimed responsibility for it. Now, there's another interesting side of that as it ties in here because, I mean, first of all, it is a mistake to say all Muslims support this because, of course, they don't.
I suspect
the majority of Muslims in Pakistan will be quite horrified. There's a tendency to swing to the other extreme and say, well, these are just extremists. They've got nothing to do with Islam.
But there have been two stories within the Scottish media recently that indicate the nature of the genuine problem that exists within Islam, within mainstream Islam in the UK.
Imam Maulana Habib Ur Rehman, the head of Glasgow Central Mosque, which is the biggest mosque in Scotland, he belongs to a group that's considered moderate and not ISIS, although they're Sunni. They're known as the Barvelli Group, and they control about 40% of mosques in the United Kingdom.
He came into the news this week because he posted a message on social media that was supportive of a man called Mumtaz Qadri. Now, Qadri was executed in Pakistan the other week for the murder of the former governor of Punjab.
Yes, Salman Taseer. Now, what happened there, and this is tied in back to the Lahore thing, Salman Taseer basically objected to Pakistan's blasphemy laws, which were being used against a Christian woman, a poor Christian woman.
Yeah. Asia Bibi, who's sitting on death row in Pakistan, she ended up in jail because of a dispute over a bowl of water with one of the other women in her village, who then subsequently accused her of blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad.
Basically to get her killed, and he was trying to get the blasphemy law changed. Now, he himself hadn't broken that law. He wasn't been accused of that. But his bodyguard, Qadri, shot him 28 times.
Yeah.
28 times he shot him. Now, it's about 5 years later, and he was executed a couple of weeks ago.
Unrepentant. And you know,
absolutely. And he's a hero to some people. But this is what the Imam of Glasgow Central Mosque said. I cannot hide my pain today. A true Muslim was punished for doing what the collective will of the nation failed to carry out. Now, he later went on to say, oh, I'm just objecting to capital punishment.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. What he was saying was that the governor should have been executed by the state because the state didn't do it. The bodyguard was a true Muslim.
Took the law into his own hands.
Now, you have to stop and consider the implications of that and what is being said. That is stunning. Now, the Birmingham Mosque, which is a massive mosque, the imam there said more or less the same thing. And there are Muslims who are, to be fair to them, who are horrified that this is being said. But again, please remember, this is being said not by ISIS people, but this is being said by mainstream
Sunni
British Muslims.
Yeah.
And it's chilling.
Yeah.
I mean, I find there's no other way around it other than to say that it's chilling. And well, that comes home even more when we think of what happened
in Glasgow.
In Shoreland.
Yeah, there was a shopkeeper, Asad Shah, who is an Ahmadi Muslim. It's a minority sect within Islam.
Well, in Pakistan, it's actually, there's actually written into the constitution that Ahmadis are not Muslims.
And there are many Sunni hardliners who would believe that if you're apostate from Islam, if you leave to become an atheist or a Christian or you're an Ahmadi, then you should be subject to the death penalty. Now, we don't know all the details, and it's an ongoing investigation by Police Scotland, but one of the things that we do know is that Mr. Shah released a message via social media that was celebrating Easter.
He sent a message saying, "Upcoming special event, Good Friday and very happy Easter, especially to my beloved Christian nation. Bismillah, let's follow the real footstep of beloved Holy Jesus Christ, peace be upon him in abbreviations, and get the real success in both worlds, XXXX. Uh-huh. That's an extraordinary tweet in lots of ways.
And similarly, this was something that he regularly did on social media, making comments about his faith.
What the police have said is that another Muslim killed him. Uh-huh. That's what they've said. They've said another Muslim involved. And they've also said it was a religiously motivated killing.
Yeah.
So it appears to be that. So it appears as though this man, who by all accounts appears to have been your typical Pakistani shopkeeper, like mine, a good people, a very warm person. The Ahmadis in particular have this whole idea of living with tolerance and so on. And actually, that's why so many of them came. In fact, they moved their headquarters to Britain because they weren't allowed in Pakistan. And here's the irony. They have to come to a Christian nation to get freedom, to be their type of Muslim.
Now, that's a good question that we could be asking some of our Muslim friends. You know, does it bother them that if this country were ever to become truly Islamic, then they would have to leave in order to practice the religion that they want to live? Certainly, I mean, if in many of the Muslim majority countries, then it tends to be the more, you know, Sharia-laden, hadith-quoting, hardline Islam that tends to predominate.
I love the phrase he used, his beloved Christian nation. Because here's the paradox. I don't think it's in a secular society that you end up with freedom of religion for everybody, because secularists don't know how to handle this kind of extremist Islam. They bracket all religions together. Whereas here we are in Christian Scotland, and I've written this, I've written a post, we have to simply say Muslims are welcome here. We're not putting up a wall. They're welcome here. Sure. We want Muslims to come here, but they can't be the type of Muslims who think that they have the right to kill those who don't belong to their particular group, or kill those or punish those who apostatize from Islam. So they come into a Christian country where there's freedom of religion and there are Christian principles, and we welcome, not least because we want to tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, those Christian principles that kind of underlie the traditional understanding of real tolerance, they're being increasingly forgotten about, and we're seeing the more kind of militant atheists and the secular humanists doing their best to stoke up an intolerance towards all religions, and religion's been more and more marginalised. So, you know, I can't help wondering just how much of a factor that might be in the radicalisation process. But, I mean, if we're ever going to make real progress in the UK, then we've got to find a way of changing the current situation. You know, Os Guinness would say there's got to be some kind of new political settlement that allows us to have a public square that deals with these kind of deep differences that we have in our society.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that we need to look at. But anyway, for now, we mourn. We mourn the people in Brussels. We mourn the Christians and others, I'm sure, who were caught up in that park in Lahore. We mourn the people in Africa who are being killed right now and in Iraq. And we mourn Mr. Shah, and we pray for his widow and his family, and indeed even for his killer. Sadly, this is not going to be the last time we're reporting things like this. Even in the short space of time that we mentioned the Brussels thing, all these things have happened.
One of the things that Quantum of Solace is all about is looking at the media and the messages it conveys relating to Christianity and the Christian worldview. Now, the BBC recently broadcast a programme called The Battle for Christianity. It was looking at the state of Christianity in the UK. We'll put a link to the programme on the Solace blog, which you can find on the website at www.solace-cpc.org.
The basic thesis is, the traditional churches are collapsing, but Christianity itself may not be collapsing because it's being transformed into other forms, particularly through immigrants coming in. And actually, especially in this program, it showed immigrants being converted from different backgrounds, including Islamic backgrounds, but also through independent churches, younger people being converted. The traditional denominations are really not able to cope and to handle that. Now, it's a very, very interesting thesis. It mentions four things that change it: social action, the kind of charismatic style of worship, immigration, and the collapse in the main denominations. Oh, and social conservatism. And what they mean by that is things like same-sex marriage and abortion and so on. Those of us who uphold the traditional Christian position, actually, that's proving very attractive to people.
Well, that's a more robust form of Orthodox Protestant Christianity, isn't it?
It certainly is. And it's very countercultural to the elite. So what you've got is you've got the establishment churches, like the Church of England, like the Church of Scotland, who are in with the establishment, the political liberal establishment. But instead of being prophets who are challenging them, they're just their spiritual wing. So what I would call more robust Christianity, more biblical Christianity, is actually growing and they're declining.
But the program gave a number of examples of things that couldn't really be described as biblical Christianity. And if I'm honest, I really struggled with quite a bit of it. But the national churches are collapsing because of liberalism within the church, isn't it? Religious liberalism.
Well,
I think so.
I think it's religious liberalism, but it's seen in the fact that they are establishment figures. They're no longer prophets. Yeah. They no longer proclaim the word. I mean, that's not true, of course, of every Anglican, nor is it true of every establishment church, but it's true as a whole. Richard Page. Do you know about Richard Page?
Yeah, Richard Page is the former magistrate down in Kent who was sacked recently by the Lord Chief Justice Michael Gove over comments that he'd made with regards to same-sex marriage and adoption. And he believed that children performed better when they were adopted by a male and a female, a mother and a father.
Yes.
And,
well, he got fired because he said that he didn't think there had been enough research on the impact having gay parents has on children. Now, he's now been fired from his role as a trustee on an NHS authority.
If you hold to an Orthodox Christian understanding, then you're no longer fit for public office?
Yeah, it's the Kent and Medway NHS and Social Care Partnership, where he was on the board. And he's been removed from that, and he's been told, this is what the chairman of the board said, Andrew Ling: "The recent publicity you have courted is likely to further undermine the confidence staff, particularly lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered staff, have in the leadership of the trust." Now, here we're back to safe space stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this is the really important issue for the listeners to get here. People will say, we need research, you need facts, and so on. Forget research and forget facts when it comes to this, because that's actually what he said. He said, let's do research into this. You are not allowed to research this. These are political, philosophical positions that if you do not accept them, you're done. You're out. When people say, well, there's no research that shows that gay parenting is bad for kids, no such research would ever be allowed. And here is the NHS firing a man from board, not because he's done anything wrong, but because there are people who might feel it's not safe space.
This isn't about equal rights. This is about the enforcement of supreme rights. This is Uber rights, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this has become ridiculous. I mean, because, for example, just think how this works. Patrick Harvey said that he didn't want the president of Ghana being in the Scottish Parliament at all because LGBT people would feel it violated their safe space.
This is a weaponization of safe space we're talking about.
Well, what about myself? I mean, because I don't agree views on sexuality.
David, that's only a matter of time.
Shouldn't I be banned and shouldn't we not be allowed to say things on the airwaves? And that's where this establishment, this whole thing comes in. Honestly, our liberal elitist establishments, they are so spineless and gutless and irrational in the way that they do these things.
Johan Cruyff has died.
Listen, you must have admired Cruyff.
Do you know what? I spent kind of the late 70s and the early 80s trying to perfect the Cruyff turn. I twisted my legs into knots trying to get that. I eventually got it, but, you know, we would spend hours practicing in the park just to do the Cruyff turn. And if you could do it, you were a hero in our village.
Yeah, I must admit, I find it difficult to believe that anyone doesn't know about Cruyff. But just in case you don't, he was the Dutch maestro from the 1970s. He's a main proponent, I guess, maybe not invented, total football. The stuff that Barcelona now play, and of course he managed Barcelona as well. There is a book called Total Orange, which is the best football book I've ever read in my life, and I'd highly recommend it. But we are sorry, you know, it seems like every week we're lamenting. There was the death, by the way, of the voice of Lady Penelope of Thunderbirds. That's another one, but she's gone. Lady Penelope is gone.
And Ronnie Corbett has gone as well. And the guy from Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Lake and Palmer, Cruyff as well. And I feel that my teenage years have gone. My childhood has gone. That's all it will say. Okay, we shall see you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.